right now, our Tuesday regular, Chris Johnston from, I imagine, Boston. Chris, is that correct?
Yes, sir. We're here for the final stand. Season's about to end.
Yeah, well, there's two things here. First off, how lucky are we? We got a game seven. And secondly, how lucky are you that you get to go be with your family and sleep in your own bed soon? That's got to be exciting.
Well, I'll take the game seven any day of the week. You know, there's a tendency to want to rush home sometimes when you get out traveling like this. But, you know, the fact is you can have a long, successful career, not too many game sevens. And, you know, this is the first one in 8 years. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I think the fact that it's a game with a lot of stakes, you know, makes it pretty intriguing.
We talked about it a bit today. The Bruins have just been so incredibly resilient. And look, both teams have gotten this far and they've shown resiliency, but it just, they seem to have an ability when things are just going horribly for small amounts of time, they can weather that and immediately bounce back with a goal. I was thinking of that, you know, the shift for the Blues in this series, the, what, 2.5 to 3.5 minutes, whatever it was, where they got line changes, him bossing in, exhausted them, got them to take a penalty. Well, how did the Bruins respond? They scored shorthanded moments later. I mean, this is a group that's found a way to come up with monster plays in big spots all spring. Can they do it again tomorrow?
Well, they certainly can. You know, I have to think that they're the favorite in this game. I mean, I think home ice in hockey doesn't always have huge effect, but when you're playing one game to win a title or not, it's a huge advantage. And, you know, I think especially with the fact that St. Louis arrives here, having seen an opportunity slip through their fingers, you know, there was 100,000 people on the streets of St. Louis, you know, before game six, a chance for that franchise to win its first ever cup, a lot of build up for those players who had, you know, even extra family than were already here flying in anticipation of a potential celebration, and then they lose that game, and now they're going into a building where it's extremely difficult to win at any time, even though I know St. Louis has done so twice in this cup final. You know, it what kind of makes the Game 7 cool here is that as much as the Bruins are resilient in the way you outlined, I mean, we're still talking about a St. Louis team that was last overall in the league midway through the season and you know, has had to come back a couple times itself. Down 3-2 to Dallas before winning that series, down 2-1 after the hand pass, the goal that was missed in the Western Conference Final. I mean, it's two teams that all year long have kind of shown they can continue to go and go and go and believe in themselves. And so, you know, I think tomorrow will be a heavyweight fight, not just because of the moment, but because the, you know, both teams, I think, are pretty strong and understand at this point what's at stake.
Talked about it. For 5 years, I sat next to Rhett Warner when he wasn't on vacation in these studios, and the sting of a Stanley Cup Finals loss, I think Marchand alluded to it. It's a more powerful, I guess, memory, effect, experience than even winning the thing. I feel for one of these two teams that will be losing the ultimate championship by the slightest of margins.
Yeah, you know, to go this far, I mean, both teams have a reason to believe they should win it at this point. It's not a stretch to see either, you know, become the champion and then be lifting that trophy tomorrow night. You know, I can create a pretty easy scenario where that happens both ways. And, you know, as much as they say it's the hardest trophy in sports to win, it might be even harder trophy to lose. And, you know, that's what one of these teams is going to do, you know, by playing a game seven. And, you know, it's tough to imagine. You know, I spoke to Billy Neiman, actually. And he had won the Game 7 with Colorado in 2001 and then was part of that Flames team in 2004. And he's still kicking himself over, you know, things that happened in that game in Tampa. And he was basically a fourth-line player, third-line player on that team. You know, certainly not someone counted on to make a difference. But, you know, when you play that deep into the spring, you lose a game on home ice, you lose 2-1 in Game 7. You know, that's the sort of stuff that stays with you forever. I think even if you've had a successful career, even if you won other titles, I don't know that ever kind of soothes the pain because, you know, as much as we even think about this Bruins team where the core guys, the Charas, the Bergerons, Marchand, you know, they've already won a cup. You know, it changes how they're viewed long-term if they win too. It changes their own memories of how this spring went, and it's been such a great run. But if for whatever team falls short in tomorrow's game, you know, it's going to hurt in the moment, but I think it'll be still hurting 15 or 20 years on, you know, no matter what happens after this point.
Who's impressed you for both these groups that maybe you didn't expect to be impressed by, or just that exceeded your expectations ahead of this series?
Well, Ryan O'Reilly jumps out to me, and it's not that I didn't expect to be impressed by him, but I think he's really been a difference maker for the Blues. And then, you know, what's kind of interesting about their team is on a couple levels, they haven't really done things the traditional way. I mean, it's been more than 10 years since they selected in the top 15 of the draft, or top 14, I believe it is. You know, they haven't sort of done a rebuild and stocked themselves with superstars. And even this year, Ryan O'Reilly was their highest scoring player in the regular season, and I believe he was 31st or 32nd in the overall scoring race. I mean, they're not really a superstar-laden team, and yet they found a way to play to this point. And you know, I think in the Stanley Cup Final in particular, O'Reilly has kind of risen to the moment and been a difference maker. You know, he would have been my number one Conn Smythe vote had they won the trophy the other night. And, you know, he's someone who didn't win a playoff series in junior. Spent a whole lot of time in the NHL without ever, you know, playing big games, and, you know, has kind of stacked it all together this spring. And so, you know, he jumps to mind, you know, among the St. Louis players. I think on Boston side, you know, I'm more familiar with their team. I've covered them in the playoffs. Obviously, they have a lot of guys that have been around for years. You know, a guy that sort of jumped up that I didn't have a ton of awareness about is Brandon Carlo, who, you know, at this point really is a top shutdown defenseman. I mean, Zdeno Chara has the reputation and the size and everything, you know, even the lore now playing with a broken jaw. But, you know, they've been using Carlo pretty consistently as their main shutdown option. And you know, I've sort of seen him bloom here in the playoffs. You know, this is 25 games of experience now where, you know, if he ever moves on to another team or whatever, he'll be now viewed as sort of a playoff veteran, someone who understands what it takes. And you know, I think he's been a nice under-the-radar contributor for a Bruins team that's had to weather some injuries on its back end. And I don't think that they could have afforded to lose him, you know, had that happened during this playoff run.
There's a ton of stuff around this series that I want to get deeper with you. First off, are we expecting a big Poppy appearance? What do we know about his whereabouts and his health?
Well, we don't know too much. You know, I wouldn't rule it out. To me, that seems very Boston. I mean, one unique part of this city, and you know, I know people roll their eyes at it from here, but it's not just that the teams have all won titles of late. It's that there actually seems to be a lot of interplay between them. I mean, it might just be a simple fact that Tom Brady and Zdeno Chara have all been, you know, Boston-based athletes for forever now, and they've actually forged friendships. But, you know, there's a lot of support between the different organizations here, the Red Sox as well. And you know, I don't know anything more than what I've just been reading about David Ortiz's, you know, his condition. He, you know, he was flown into Boston by the Red Sox since he was shot the other night, and you know, so I don't know if he's capable of coming to the Garden for that kind of thing, but honestly, I don't think you can rule it out. You know, just because there is that sort of pre-existing relationship and the teams do support one another, it would be quite a moment. I mean, there's been some murmurs it could be Tom Brady that's coming for the flight captain duty, this sort of tradition they have just before the game starts here. You know, it'll be someone big. I mean, they've already rolled out Belichick, Gronkowski, Julian Edelman, Bobby Orr has done it a couple times. You know, they've really had the sort of who's who of Boston sports personalities or athletes, you know, perform that. And I have to believe if Big Poppy's in any condition to be in the arena tomorrow night, you know, I think he'll be there in some way, shape, or form to try to fire the crowd up. Pretty amazing. It's the first Game 7 ever in the Stanley Cup Final for the Bruins. You know, an original 16 that's won a few cups and been in more, but they've never had a moment like the one they're going to witness here tomorrow night.
Yeah, no kidding. What's this with Tuukka Rask answering questions about cars in Finnish? I feel like this is, if you're on the beat, this is a story, but for us far away, what?
Well, it's weird, and you know, it started at the beginning of the series. I mean, essentially, you know, when you get to this stage of the playoffs, there's reporters from, you know, various languages here covering the series, and if you remember when the Cup Final started, it was just around the same time Finland won the World Hockey Championship overseas, and that was dominating a lot of headlines back in Finland. And so one of the reporters that's here from Finland decided that they needed to get some headlines on the Cup Final, and during after game one, actually, you know, win by the Bruins, Tuukka was at the podium, and he asked them, a question about his car in Finnish. And kind of the inside story on it is that many years ago, Vesa Toskola, when he was a goaltender for the Toronto Maple Leafs, did an interview in Finnish with an English-speaking reporter who was just asking questions and looking to get him to respond in Finnish. And he gave this long diatribe story about getting his driver's license and all the trouble he had. And so it had kind of become a thing back home in Finland. And so Tuukka was aware of that. He played along. He answered that question, you know, after game three, another win for him. He got on the podium and answered in Finnish about a tennis match he played a few years ago against a pro using a frying pan. And, you know, the only thing I could tell you really is that Finns have a different kind of sense of humor. And Tuukka, even in the middle of these huge games, doesn't mind having a laugh up there. And, you know, I think really the origin of it is just that they were looking to get some attention, some viral video, and Tuukka consented on the matter. And most people had no idea this was going on until one of the Finnish reporters started, you know, cluing the rest of us in that speak English.
Yeah, I recall they had, what, the Jets and the Panthers out in Finland this the beginning of the year, for early on in the season.
Yeah.
Or Senators and Avs as well, I think, went over. But I recall one of the questions to, I think, Paul Maurice was like, do you think that Laine can make a Barkov his daddy? Like, it's an unusual sense of humor out there. Okay, anything else?
Well, I got to tell you, I love Finns. They're the one country that they love hockey as much as Canadians do.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll say Latvia, too. I've been there, and it's nuts. They're just not really good at it yet. Small country as well. Okay, what else do we need to know? You've told us you've got your Raptors hangout. How did it go last night? How did you take in what was an incredibly roller coaster, emotional, you know, crazy plot twist Game 5 from Scotiabank Arena?
Yeah, I was having two minds about it. I mean, I was feeling a little weird if they had won the title and I wasn't in Toronto just to experience excitement in the city, so I'm probably going to regret these words, but I don't mind the fact that now with the Game 6 and potentially Game 7, I'll be home and be able to sort of live it a little bit if they do manage to get it done. You know, I'm feeling good about the team. You know, I thought they didn't play very well last night, and yet they lost by 1 point and had a shot at the buzzer to win the title, to win the game. You know, the Durant injury lingers here, but it just seems that the Raptors have a little bit more left. You know, the Golden State feels and looks like a team that's beat up, that's been through so many of these kind of battles and doesn't have what it takes. And so, you know, it was a pretty up and down night watching that all play out. Just hard to, a little surreal, honestly, for me to imagine that the Raptors could be winning the NBA title that night. And, you know, the series gets a lot more interesting now, having to fly all the way back to Oakland and, you know, play a game six, the last ever game at Oracle Arena, which they're closing down this year. And, you know, maybe we're going to get a Sunday, which has the U.S. Open final round and Raptors Warriors Game 7. I mean, it's a pretty good sporting week we're in here right now.
What were you leaning on U.S. Open? I know we're going to chat Thursday, but you have to get your picks in before that. That will be opening round.
I have not made any picks yet. I've been so immersed in this. Yeah. I'm probably going to be sending you a DM after our conversation for some tips here. I mean, I saw Rory did well at the Canadian Open last week, so. Yeah. And maybe McIlroy's in good form. You know, like I always got Tiger in my heart. I don't know who's going to win this one. Anyone but Kapten, I'll be happy.
Fair enough. Interestingly, Mickelson has done very well at Pebble, and I think won the Pro-Am there this year. Snedeker shows up in some of the stats models. This is not a bombit track at all. It's about staying out of that rough, and greens aren't huge either. We'll see. We'll have to chat about this later.
Appreciate that.
Okay. Thank you for the conversation. Always a pleasure catching up. Enjoy your final moments in Boston this year until, of course, the Leafs and Bruins in round one, which is a rite of passage, I'm told now.
Yes, and it's going to be crazy that Thursday when we talk, we'll be headlong into off-season news. So that's coming quick.
Yes. So also, clearly we'll have the Game 7 tomorrow, but be ready for the whirlwind of trade rumors. We want you at your best on Thursday with some juicy stuff. Big names out there being bandied about. We'll touch that in 2 days.
All right. The tornado will come in then.
Thanks, man.